Alibaba stock price is in a tailspin. The problems are fundamental. And the big question, is this an Alibaba problem or is it a broader proxy for the way that China is quote unquote uninvestable right now? It's Wednesday, February 7th. Welcome to the Tech Check Podcast. I'm Deirdre Bosa with Mark Gilbert. Hey, Mark.
Hey, Dee. How you doing? Before we really dig into today's story, I just wanted to point out some numbers because I think the scale of the meltdown in the Chinese stock market is undercovered and our listeners may not sort of know the magnitude of what's happened right now. So
actually, to your credit too, you wanted to do the story on Monday and we said we would wait for Alibaba. So this has been something that's been on your mind.
Well, we didn't have anything to talk about on Monday. So I said, what if we just did a podcast called, so what's up with China? Huh? And so now we finally have our opportunity to do it. So Alibaba went public at $68 a share. That was the IPO price. That was what you got if you were like a hedge fund that had a good relationship and got an allotment of shares. If you just, you know, were like a retail investor and you bought it on IPO day at the New York Stock Exchange, you paid $92. It went as high as $100 a share that day. That was way back in 2014. Alibaba today is trading at $73. So 10 years, it's basically gone nowhere as the rest of the market has, you know, compounded and just gone, you know, up mm-hmm. and to the right. It's down 75% from where it was in 2020. It's down 30% in the last year. It's down 56% in the last 5 years. There's sort of no matter what frame of reference you choose, it is a ugly, ugly story, D.
Ouch. Really good place to start, but like really, that is brutal. That is just a lot of value destruction. And let me just add a little bit more because Alibaba is like a stocky name. They'd never had a business here in the US. So it's essentially like the Amazon of China, but they went into all these other things. It's got a huge cloud computing platform. It went into delivery. It went into groceries. It's really been like the darling. And ever since it went public in 2014, it's been like the China proxy. It's a name that investors here know. And let me put it another way. It was once worth more than $800 billion before we had like several trillion-dollar companies. It was one of the biggest companies in the world. Today, it's at around $200 billion. So just another way of talking about that value destruction. And then this quarter was just more of the same, right? It really told us that these fundamental problems aren't going away. It announced a buyback, a $25 billion buyback on top of a program they already had. And it wasn't going to gloss over these fundamental issues for investors. And so you had the stock down again today at one point more than 5%. The earnings themselves, let's go through that. The numbers were not great. It's core e-commerce business. That's the platforms, the Taobao platform that is so popular in China. It is barely growing, I think something like 2%. And so its whole plan to win back investor confidence, restructure the entire company, split it into, I think, five or six different businesses. And list those. That is just not happening. That has hit a snag. I don't know what the status is right now, but it's not happening anytime soon. And so you connected it at the beginning, but at the heart of this decline or this decay, whatever you want to call it, is this idea that Chinese stocks at large have also been plagued with some of the same issues. And the one word that has been used to describe the Chinese stock market over the last years, one word, uninvestable, big one, because that tells you that like there's no opportunity. And I understand people get upset about using this word, because that you think there's got to be opportunity, but run through Alibaba and the stock market.
Yeah.
That was an interesting comparison.
Alibaba shares. And then if you look at the Hang Seng, which is the Hong Kong major stock index, since December 2020, they've moved basically in tandem, right? So you can look at this as an Alibaba specific problem, but it's basically been the same as the rest of the Chinese market. Christmas time in 2020 was the key inflection moment. That was when the Chinese government launched this big antitrust investigation into Alibaba, introduced this big wild card into sort of the valuation of Alibaba, but also just the valuation of any publicly traded stock, right? It was like, you know, is any stock safe from this? Alibaba told investors that Beijing, that the government
It didn't tell investors. The whole episode investors was this indication, right? No one said anything out loud, but the quiet part that no one about. is that Beijing would interfere with any company, no matter how big, at any time.
It didn't tell in the sense that it went out and put out a press release. Yeah, but it was like that story told investors. What was the takeaway that investors learned was, you know, at any moment, the tallest blade of grass could get cut.
I like that. Is that a Chinese proverb?
I'm not sure it is a Chinese proverb, but it's definitely a proverb.
It sounds like it. Yeah. I like how you put that in. I should have thought of some. By the way, happy early Chinese New Year. That's the end of this week. But Alibaba was actually collateral. It all started with Jack Ma, right? This was partly personal.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's the really interesting part is that it wasn't really originally an Alibaba problem. It was Jack Ma, who is the enigmatic, sort of charismatic, famous founder of Alibaba. And he was sort of seen by the Chinese government. This has all sort of been borne out in reporting. He was seen as sort of shining too bright and making it too much about him and having too much sort of attention brought onto him. So in response, his company was sort of kneecapped.
Well, there was one moment he flew a little too close to the bonus of people's billionaire beloved, you know, a homegrown billionaire who created a business, rivaled some of the biggest tech businesses in the Western world. When Ant Finance, known as Ant Group, was embarking on its own IPO. This is an Alibaba affiliate. It was also founded by Ma. He went in front of a room of Chinese and criticizing system. So the thinking there in Beijing was he's gotten too big, too much. Let's take him down a few notches, and we're going to destroy the of his companies. Ant Group, it never did the door. Billions of dollars ruined there. And also Alibaba. They weren't even satisfied at Ant. They went after Alibaba as well. Saying no, they had to look into the data practices. Gotten big, too big to fail. Type idea. But this like personal. They went after Jack. Went after Jack's the. Kin was so clear. He dared criticize Beijing and its regulators. After Alibaba Ant Group, it was Didi's botched IPO, which was wild. I remember we covered it on Tech, and we were from the one market balcony when it went. And a few days later, another mission into Didi, and she just plunged. It was delisted. And there's even Tencent, which is the other kind of internet darling and huge gaming company, got back down from Beijing as well in the form of game curbs, and that has hurt its fundamentals. So it really started with an Ant Group and Alibaba, but it told investors that you know what founder, what CEO, what billionaire say something either advertently to piss off Beijing, and then their company and its shareholders are going to suffer.
Totally. And then so today we got this, you know, expanded buyback announced along with earnings. It's sort of their attempt to do damage control on it, you know, try to keep some investors in the stock. It doesn't seem to be working right now, but it doesn't address the fundamentals of Alibaba's business, which are, you know, declining. The other thing just quickly that I wanted to address, which is that we got another piece of news that our Eunice Yoon sort of was talking about today and brought to light, but that Beijing has installed someone at the exchange with a kind of crazy nickname, The Butcher.
And I see so many similarities. This is what I tried to do is our similarities between Alibaba doing digital and it as sort of like microcosm of the Chinese market. And buyback isn't going to fix their problems. Earlier, the Chinese government said that it was going to do all these to support their stock market, which has been under so much pressure. Then a day later, they insert some nickname as the butcher to their security. So again, it's like these band-aid solutions when the fundamentals aren't being addressed. We know that Beijing control of its companies and can just see like Alibaba's part of that problem, and it's also been punished the most severely.
Right, and I think what's sort of so interesting here is that so this guy, he's called the Broker Butcher. He's been put into head the Shanghai Stock Exchange, and he has this reputation, the Butcher, after he's been praised in local media for his tough style and his harsh crackdowns on perceived misconduct. But right, that's not really the problem with Chinese stocks from an investment perspective. It's not that there's all this sort of like rampant corruption that the authorities aren't cracking down on. It's that there's way too much crackdown on legitimate businesses that are just going through like normal business practices, and they get too big and they try to grow too fast, and the Chinese government shuts them down. So the Chinese government then sees that and goes like, oh wow, we need a disciplinarian to come in and really whip these companies into shape. It's like, no, these companies were in shape and they were growing really fast. I mean, and you didn't like the fact that they were, you know, they were growing too powerful.
Alibaba's listed in the United States, right? It had a NASDAQ listing. So there is certainly corruption among Chinese companies, but it's mostly the states. It's not the Alibaba that reports quarterly, that gets audited, that lists here, that has number of American investors. So again, it's just going back to that word, uninvestable. There's lots of opportunity. This is the market that's been beaten down. Companies have been beaten down. But never know what the government is. Jinping has proved himself to be quite harsh, and that's just coming back.
And I'm just going to use another good expression, but if you tried to catch the falling knife at any point over the last 5 years in Alibaba, you'd be punished every single time, right? If a year ago you had said, oh, all right, here's the bottom. I'm going to buy some really good value, you know, down another 30%
Mark,
since then.
Mark, so unprepared. You come with these great, great proverbs. I have Ning, and I'm the one that's, you know, half Chinese, worked in for CCTV for a number of words, and you outshone me with proverbs. Okay, I'll come back to you.
Yeah, tomorrow I'm going to try and
sprinkle them.
I mean, the other interesting thing is what we see with Xi'an, right?
Well, exactly. And that's the thing. I don't know if Xi'an's pissed off the right or wrong person. China. Yeah. It's being investigated too, but remember, companies that go public have through some kind of rigorous, I don't know, maybe this process. We don't know because they're completely transparent.
It's also just like, I always think about, it's like, why didn't they do a Hong Kong IPO, you know, or why wasn't it a Shanghai IPO? And that's anytime it's a massive Chinese company trying to do a foreign IPO, and that's where, you know, there's sort of an eyebrow raised, and you wonder exactly. But then you wonder if, you know, you got to be seen as a little Chinese so you don't piss off Chinese regulators. It's this real balancing act that Chinese companies have to play.
On that note, Pinduoduo is the company's really pushed Alibaba in market share, created a lot of good competition. It only rose. Alibaba was essentially neat. No, that's not the only reason it rose. Great business model, good business management, good funnels, but part of its rise was due to its decline. So the field can change at any time. And I think this story in Alibaba is just another indication of that. So we enjoyed covering. We will cover more Chinese stock markets, certainly in Chinese companies. Board, have a great night, Mark. We'll talk to you.
See you tomorrow.